in shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet. God leads his dear children along, where the waters cool flow, bathes the weary one's feet. God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Sometimes on the mount, where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, in the darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Away from the clay, God leads his dear children along. Away up in glory, eternity's day, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long.
Well, thank you, Brother Shaddix, and God does lead his dear children along. You know, sometimes we think that God's not leading us, or God's not there. You may have to give me just a little bit more, Brother Bob. I'm going to be struck. There we go. Thank you. But you know, folks, God will never leave you nor forsake you. You say, but where is God? Sometimes when you can't see his hand, you're going to trust his heart. Sometimes you can't trail the hand of God. And so you're just going to have to trust him that all things are going to work out together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Take your Bible tonight. We're going to look at several passages of Scripture. You're going to need your Bible tonight because I want to preach to you tonight about thinking like a servant. Thinking like a servant. You know, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, while you're looking at Romans 12, Philippians 2, Colossians 1, Luke 17. Y'all got that many fingers? If not, just take your toe and stick up in one. Romans 12, Philippians 2, Colossians 1, Luke 17. Proverbs 23, verse number 7 says, you don't have to stand for this just while you're looking. The scripture says, as he or as a man thinketh, so is he. If we're not thinking like a servant, if we're not thinking about ministering, guess what? Probably not going to serve. Probably not going to minister. That's the reason we've got to get our thinking right. We got to start thinking like a servant. That's the reason we're trying to open up as many ministries. God bless these folks. About, 24 to 26 people, something like that, I'm going to guess, were there tonight, signed up and said, I want to serve through the hospital and shut-in visiting ministry. Bunch of them showed up, gave them instructions. They're ready to roll now. Hey, we got a sign-up sheet out here. We want to go pass out tracts, hold up sign down here at the Super Bowl during the week. Why? We got to start thinking like a minister. We got to start thinking like a servant. Take your Bible. Romans 12 is where we're going to be first. Would you stand with me? Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 and 2. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. In other words, get your mind thinking. Have your mind change. Get it off of what? The carnality of your mind, and get it on the spirituality of what God's doing in your life. He says, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Did you notice he says there that there needs to be a transformation? There needs to be a renewing of our mind. All right, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2. You'll recognize it once you get there. Circle these two words. I'll show you which two to circle. Verse 5. Paul said, let, circle these two words, this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a, as your King James Bible say, a servant. Okay? That same mind was a mind of a servant. And it says that he took on the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And then Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17. And he is before all things, speaking of Jesus, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Listen to this now. That in all things he might have the preeminence. A servant keeps in mind that everything he does, or everything she does, and everything that we are in the Christian life is all so that he might have preeminence. The reason we serve, the reason we minister, is so that Jesus might have the preeminence in all things, so he can be glorified in all that we do. That's how a servant thinks. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And if I read the scriptures correctly, Jesus said he was here for one purpose, and one purpose only, and that was to glorify the Father. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Now take your Bible and go back, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 17. Luke 17 and verse 7. Jesus speaking here says this, but which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he think that servant, because he did the things which were commanded of him? And the answer, Jesus answers his own question, I think not, I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And I want you to notice here as Jesus speaking, he says, when you've done all those things which are commanded you, he says, we need to have the attitude that we are unprofitable servants. We're not ministering and serving so that someone can pat us on the back, or someone can give us a plaque, or someone can call our name from the pulpit. Even though, you know what, I'm not against that, but that's not what we ought to serve for. We ought to serve with the mind of a servant and the mind of a minister, and that's to bring honor and glory to him, and so that Jesus might have the preeminence. If Folks, if we're going to be ministers to the multitudes, if we're going to reach people, we got to start thinking. We got to start thinking like a servant. Lord, bless the time we have together tonight. And we'll give you the glory for what shall become of this service tonight. For it's in the wonderful and gracious name of Jesus we pray it. Amen. You can be seated. Church, can I ask you tonight, do you want to be uniquely different in a copycat world? Have you noticed that we live in a copycat world? For instance, let me prove this to you. Many times if you enjoy watching sports or anything like that, coaches are copycats. When they find something that works, you know what? They start doing it. And then when they find something from another coach start doing it, they start doing it. I remember growing up as a kid, but I remember when the West Coast offense first came out. You remember that? Those of you that are on up about my age, Brother Green, you remember that back in just a few years back? And it was an offense that kept working and kept working and kept working, and all of a sudden every pro team was operating basically a West Coast offense. Why? Copycats. May I say to you tonight, would you like to be uniquely different in a copycat world? Would you like to be something totally different? Hey, does it sound exciting to you to live a divinely blessed life free from the constant peer pressure of the world trying to pour you into its own mold? I've got something for you. It begins in your mind. And it's developing the mind of a servant. Thinking like a servant. Hey, let me tell you something, folks, tonight. Since you've been saved, the battleground has become your mind and who and what will control your mind. Hey, as a man thinketh, so is he. And what we think about, that's what we are. You see, thinking right always precedes acting right. Let me say it again. I said thinking right always precedes acting right. People who aren't serving, people who aren't ministering, aren't thinking about serving and aren't thinking about ministering to other people. You see, this is why it is impossible to grasp the concept of serving others or practicing it with joy and without fear until our minds are free from the world's mold. We've got to transform our mind. We've got to start thinking like a servant. You see, we must stop accepting the system of thought around us, such as this, the world's line of reasoning or the method of operation or its style and technique. Hey, we have the style and technique that God wants us to have. It's called the Word of God. We have illustrations in the Bible that Jesus set forth of how we're to minister. We need to follow those. May I say to you tonight, church, that living differently begins with thinking differently. I said living differently begins by thinking differently. We've got to start thinking like ministers. We've got to start thinking like servants. Because if we don't, then we become inward with everything that we do. We become arrogant. We become prideful. We become selfish. We've got to start thinking like a minister. You see, a life characterized by serving others begins in the mind. And let me tell you something. That mind is convinced that this is the way a believer is supposed to live. That we are to be servants of Jesus Christ and ministers of Jesus Christ. Well, unfortunately, there's some obstacles to that type of thinking. Would you take your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if you would please? The church at Corinth had many struggles. One of the things that they struggled with, even after salvation, they struggled with thinking right. You see, this was a major problem of this church at Corinth, and they struggled with it, that process of renewing their mind and becoming what God wanted them to be. Many times our mind gets contaminated with the system of the world, and we need to start thinking beyond that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 1, Paul says, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being present am bold toward, or absent being bold towards you. He says, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity, what does your Bible say right there? Every thought. It says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Look at verse 7. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself do what? Think this again. He is Christ, even so we are we Christ. So there's some obstacles that we have to in our thinking to get it right. There's some obstacles of natural thinking. If you'll notice here in these seven verses here, several things the church at Corinth had a problem with, and that was their mind, but they had a problem on focusing on what God's will was for their life, just like we do. Notice in verse number 2, if you'll notice there, the church at Corinth, they were prejudiced instead of objective. Did you notice it says, I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with you, that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, listen to this, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. You understand that they thought in their mind, they were prejudiced in a sense toward Paul, thinking that he was walking after the flesh. And they were prejudiced instead of objective. Listen to me, folks. What we need to understand is that when God sent you in here, I am here by salvation, and put you in this church, He desires you to serve. He desires you to be a minister and be objective in your service. That's the reason we've got to be quick and understanding that when we serve and we minister, we're ministering on behalf of Jesus Christ. Now, we're not going to read every verse, but verse number 3, did you notice it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The church at Corinth, they focused on the visible rather than the invisible. They focused on the visible rather than the invisible. And listen to me, dear friends, if we're not careful, that's what we'll do. We'll start looking on the outward appearance of people and we'll forget about the soul of the individual. We'll start looking at all the problems that people have and we'll stop ministering to the needs that people have. Verse number 4, you'll find there that the church at Corinth, they relied on human strength and not divine power. Hey, serving and ministering, you've got to have the power of God. It's got to be divine. Verse number 5, they listened to men instead of God. Remember, I've told you in our studies on Sunday nights in this area of ministering to the multitudes, there are going to be people that will tell you, listen, those people right there, they're never going to change. You're wasting your time with them. They're never going to change. I'm here to tell you that I might have been one of those people. You might have been one of those people. I'm here to tell you, my dear friend, the Lord God can change anybody. You know how He changes people? Through people. He changes people through ministry. People are caring. People who are loving. You see, the church at Corinth, they perceive things superficially rather than deeply. Did you notice it says, do you look on things after the outward appearance? And you know what Paul said? You need to think this again. He says, because you know, sometimes everything is not as it appears to be. For instance, we'll go out soul winning. We'll go to a park or something and we'll see a fella out there or someone out there. And man, they look rough as a cob. They look like they slept in the dumpster that night. And they come out and we thought, oh man, I'm not going to witness to them. They're mean. Well, how do you know they're mean? I've seen people dress in a suit meaner than a dog. I said, I've seen people dressed up in a suit mean as a dog. Hey, just because a person appears outwardly like they may look mean don't mean they are mean. Hey, that's all I'm saying to you is we got to start thinking like a servant that, listen, folks, we're to go into all the world. It doesn't matter what a person looks like. Listen, I tell you, not too long ago, I got in a close situation with a man and it was quite obvious that when I was in that closed situation with him for just a few moments, he had not used dial. He had not used any personal hygiene for that matter. Now, I had to make a decision. Am I going to keep talking? Am I going to keep witnessing? Or am I going to say, I can't bear this no more. I'm fixing to puke. You see, the thing about it is, I had to get past the odor. I had to get past the appearance and look to the soul. So I thought, Lord God, please, would you put something up my nostrils that would keep me? So the Holy Ghost says, well, I can't do that. He said, start breathing out of your mouth. So I did. I started breathing out of my mouth. And you know what? I got through it. Amen. Now, what I'm saying to you folks is the mindset of the church today, if we're not careful, we get duped into thinking like the world thinks. You can't do that. You got to think like a servant. You got to think like a minister thinks. Well, in my opinion, one of the greatest servants of God that we have in all the Bible is the Apostle Paul. The Scripture tells us very carefully that in the book of Romans, in chapter 1, Paul addresses himself as Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. He also refers to someone else in Romans chapter 16 and verse number 1. He refers to Phoebe as a servant of the church. He makes reference in Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 12 about Epaphras, a servant of Jesus Christ. James refers to himself as James, a servant of God. I wonder how many members of Trinity Baptist Church can call your name out and say, I am so-and-so, the servant of the living God. You know, people who think like a servant, people who have their mind on ministering can say that. People who aren't cannot. The church service, that's what is produced by a servant. You see, just as an apple tree produces apples and an orange tree produces oranges, a servant produces service. A minister ministers to people. Well, Jesus made a statement, Matthew chapter 7. He says, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. You know how you know who a servant is? They serve. You know how you can identify a minister? They minister. They're thinking like a minister. They're looking for ways to minister. Church, can I say, your first impression of the Apostle Paul may not be that he's a servant, but rather maybe you'd say, man, preacher, he's kind of forceful. He's kind of uncompassionate. He's kind of arrogant. He kind of had that attitude of my way or the highway. Well, outwardly, he may have appeared that way. But may I say to you that once you find the heart of the Apostle Paul, you'll find out real quick that he thought like a servant. He thought like a servant. He had the mind of a servant. You see, the Apostle Paul reveals his true heart in his style, in his self-description, in his comments to the church. Paul, a servant. Paul, hey, listen, another place he called himself a bond slave. Why? Thinking. He thought like a servant. He thought like a minister of Jesus Christ. Well, Paul was indeed an apostle, but he carried himself and conducted himself as a servant. And what I want to do for just a moment tonight for the message is I want to observe some things, some characteristics of the Apostle Paul that I think will help us in our area of thinking like a servant. If we're going to be a good minister, if we're going to be a good servant of Jesus Christ, I found some things that I think we need to apply to our life that the Apostle Paul exemplified for us in Scripture. Take your Bible, go to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 1. Paul says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. He says, for I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. May I say to you tonight, dear folks, that I think one of the greatest characteristics of the Apostle Paul, who thought like a servant, who thought like a minister, and if we're going to be a servant and you're going to be a minister, this is a quality that's going to have to be in your life. And the first thing that I see, first of all, he was transparent. He was transparent. Did you notice what it says in the scripture there? He said, I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Hey, you know what he did, church? He admitted that he was a human. He admitted that he had real feelings. And that when he approached the church at Corinth, by the way, when you go read about the church at Corinth, you know what? They weren't the most hospitable people in the world. They were heathens. As I said this morning, they were so bad, they were beyond heathens. They were heathens. Worshipping false gods. Folks, listen to me. Listen to me well. They were involved in all types of immoral worship. That was these people. And Paul said, when I came to you at the beginning, I came to you in weakness, in fear, in trembling. You say, preacher, ministering scares me a little bit. Ministering makes me nervous a little bit. That's okay. Just be transparent. You know what people are looking for today? They're looking for people that are real. They're tired of the fakes of the world. They're tired of people that are pretending to be Christians and pretending to be ministers. Listen, let me tell you something, folks. Talk's cheap. People can talk the talk, but there ain't many people walking the walk. You see, it's easy to talk like a minister and talk like a servant. I don't want to hear the talk. I want to see the walk. I want to see the people who are producing fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I say to you that Paul produced fruit. But I think one of the greatest characteristics of his life is that he was transparent. He admitted that he was human. May I say to you, when you go back and read Romans chapter 7, he admitted he wasn't perfect. He admitted he wasn't perfect. How many times have you tried to help people and they say, oh, you just got to understand, I'm not perfect. If I've heard that one time, I've heard it 100 times. I'm not perfect. And you know what I do? I agree with them. You're not perfect, and I'm not perfect. People need to know that just because you're from the church doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean you do everything right. Doesn't mean you always think right. Doesn't mean you always operate right. Doesn't mean you always make the right decisions. But Paul was transparent. He let them know I'm human and that he was not perfect. Listen, when you go over and read Romans chapter 7, basically here's the gist of Romans chapter 7. In about 10 or 12 verses, here's what he said. He says, the things that I would do, I don't do them. And the things that I don't do, that's the thing, or don't, shouldn't do, that's the things that I do. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. He said, in this flesh dwelleth no good thing. You want to be a good servant? You want to be a good minister? Be transparent. Just be real. Be who you are. Sometimes I think way too many people, they have the tendency to think that people become Pharisees and when they are from the church. But hey, folks, we ought to put them at ease and let them know, hey, listen, I'm just a human being. I'm just a servant of God. I'm not here for any profit at all. I'm here because I want to minister to you in your time of need. Paul admitted he was human. Paul admitted that he wasn't perfect. Hey, did you notice that Paul also said that he had needs and admitted them? You say the Apostle Paul had needs? Yeah. You see, a person doesn't have to be without needs to be a minister. You see, we're supposed to be ministering. We're supposed to be servants in spite of your needs. Because if you'll go meet somebody else's needs, God will send somebody to meet your needs in your life. Anybody in here that has absolutely no needs tonight? I don't think any hand can be raised. I think every person here tonight could say, preacher, I've got needs. Good. You can probably be a good minister then. But you got to start thinking like a minister. You got to be transparent. Make sure that you project to people and that you portray to people so that they can see that you're human as well. You know, Paul failed in many areas of his life. When you read the writings of Paul, you'll find that there's a scarlet thread that runs through his writings. And that scarlet thread, he finally comes out and lets you know a couple of times what his fear is. His fear is that he would become a shipwreck. His greatest fear is that he would reach a place at some point in his life and not think like a servant anymore. And not think like a minister anymore. Listen, he didn't want to become a base. He didn't want to become shipwreck. He wanted to be a servant. He wanted to be a minister all of his life. And if you'll read in Paul's writings, you'll see that little scarlet thread weaving its way through his writings. He said, one of my greatest fears is to become a shipwreck and a castaway for the cause of Christ. Folks, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a castaway when it comes to serving God. I want my hands to be His hands and my voice to be His voice. You see, Paul was transparent. He wasn't perfect. He had needs. He had failed in life before. Oh, by the way, have I told you before that just because you fail don't make you a failure? I'm going to say that again. I said, just because you fail, it doesn't make you a failure. I'm so sick and tired of hearing people say, well, you failed in this area of life, you're a failure. Folks, listen to me. You know who people who it seems that God seems to use the most in life? Failures. I'm talking about people that have failed in life. You don't think Paul failed in life? How would you like to have on your account arresting, persecuting, and maybe even in some cases having Christians put to death? How would you like that on your account? You see, the thing about it is tonight, dear folks, God works His greatest works many times in a failed life. And God can raise up a person who many have written off. Here to tell you tonight, you're looking at a preacher tonight, listen. Yes, we're going to fail. Yes, we're going to make decisions we shouldn't make. Yes, we're going to go against counsel. But you listen to me, don't you let anybody tell me or tell you that just because you fail that God can't use you no more. That's not biblical. That's not of God. My goodness, if God can't use people who failed in life, then He can't use anybody. Heard a preacher mention one time, God uses. God's army, God's soldiers are all wounded soldiers. You see, Paul didn't try to hide his humanity. That's what servants do. They're transparent. Look at the second thing, same chapter, verse 4 and 5. He says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." May I say to you tonight that not only one of the characteristics that got Paul thinking like a servant and thinking like a minister, not only was he transparent, but may I say to you, number two, he was genuine. He was genuine. You see, Paul displayed humility. Paul was not concerned only with glorifying God and displaying God's power. Paul was a humble servant of God. Think about this. When we follow image-conscious people, may I say to you that it's that person that we follow that gets exalted. But when we follow those people which are servants and have a servant's heart, it's the Lord that gets exalted. When you follow self-image people and image-conscious people, they get exalted. But when you follow servant-minded people and ministry-minded people, it's the Lord that gets exalted. It's the person of God, the power of God, the work of God, the word of God, the glory of God. All of that gets exalted. Paul was genuine. How many times in his writings did he give God the glory? How many times did he call reference that we're to give, that the Lord is to have preeminence in all things? Can I give you a humility test for just a moment? You ever taken a humility test? Let me give you one. First of all, here's the humility test. You'll know that a person has a humble spirit when they're non-defensive when confronted. I said when they're non-defensive when they're confronted. Folks, it's not wrong for somebody to confront you about an issue, whether it be an issue, a shortcoming, or whether it be an issue over a mistake. It's okay to be confronted, but you'll know, and you'll know people that have that humble spirit. When they're confronted about something, they don't bow their neck. They'll say, you know what, I appreciate that. Thank you for pointing that out in my life. I'm going to do everything I can to correct that. You know what that is? That's a person thinking like a servant. That's a person thinking like a minister. You see, a non-defensive spirit reveals a willingness to be accountable. A non-defensive spirit operates on the simple philosophy. And here's the philosophy. Nothing to prove, nothing to lose. They operate on that principle. Nothing to prove, nothing to lose. Can I say to you that the next part of the test of humility, you find a person with a humble spirit, you'll find a person that has a non-defensive spirit when they're confronted. Here's the next part that you'll find in a humble servant, and that is they desire to help others. They have a desire to help other people. Listen, they are sensitive and spontaneous to the needs of others. Listen, they don't just see the need, they do something about it. You've heard me say many times, we'll drive down the road and we'll see somebody broken down, the car's broken down, and we'll drive past and we'll say, bless their heart. You know, the thing about it is maybe God wants you to bless their heart. Maybe God wants you to stop and minister to them. I cannot tell you over the course of my Christian life how many people that God has allowed me to win to Christ by stopping and helping them on the side of the road. And stopping and helping them. You say, oh, preacher, these days you can't just stop and try to help anybody. I understand that. And if you don't feel God's leading you to stop, keep going. But if God leads you to stop, stop. Try to minister to somebody. You know what a good sign? You say, well, how do I know they need to be ministered to? Usually, I'll give you a good sign they need to be ministered to. And that's when you drive up beside the car and they've got their head on the steering wheel going, or they're behind their car, they're the only one there, and it's a woman trying to push it out of an intersection. That's probably a good sign you can minister to them. And may I say to you folks, that so help me as God is my witness, I have driven up, I have seen people trying to push their car out of the intersection by themselves. I saw one yesterday. And I was four or five cars behind. I'm trying to think, where can I park to help this guy? And you know what people are doing? Honking their horns. Not a single person got out to help that guy push his car. But you know what everybody's doing? Honking their horns, going around him. He's trying to push it out of the intersection, and people are going around him both sides. How is he going to get out of the intersection? Finally, he just got that thing rolling, and he got that thing 1 foot, man. He got that thing rolling and hopped in it and rolled right into QT. I thought, well, glory to God, he got it over into QT. But you know what I started to do? I started to take and put my truck in park, put my flashers, and leave my truck parked right in the middle of the road. But he finally got it over there. But you know what? Anybody want help? But boy, we get quick, don't we? Hit that horn. Come on, man. I ain't got 30 seconds to help you push that car out of the road. Ain't nobody thinking like a minister and a servant. But we've got to be. You see, a minister is sensitive and spontaneous to the needs of people. They stay in touch with the struggles of others' experiences. Folks, can I say something to you real quick? Not everybody's going to air out their dirty laundry to everybody in church. And matter of fact, you shouldn't. You know, sometimes people get accused, well, man, all real private, aren't you? No, it's just they don't air their dirty laundry out to anybody. They don't get on the computer and start typing everything out and telling everybody what things are going on in their life or their marriage or with their kids, et cetera, et cetera. You know what? People, I don't think you ought to be doing that. Now, all I'm saying to you is this. But if you get wind that somebody is struggling in their Christian life, you know what? You need to stay in contact with them. Don't just say, well, bless their heart. We need to do something about it. You know what that is? That's thinking like a servant. That's thinking like a minister. You see, a person that's humble, they continually have that mind of humility that looks for ways to serve and to give. I wonder how many of our folks in our church came today looking to minister to somebody, looking to do something in somebody's life to encourage them today. You don't think there's people that came to church today that didn't have a boatload of problems? You say, well, you know, preacher, I just don't like to pry. I didn't say pry. I just said go pick somebody out and just go and say, brother, can I pray with you? Listen, I cannot tell you how many times that I've had the opportunity. God just led me and said, listen, I didn't know anything was going on. And I just walked up to a brother or a family and I said, folks, can I pray with y'all? And they just busted out crying. Just like that. They said, oh, Brother Don, how did you know? I didn't know anything. God just told me to go have prayer with them. And they just busted out crying. They said, oh, we got so many issues and so many problems. I said, well, I tell you what, why don't we just pray about them? Well, don't you want to know about them? I don't need to know about them. The Lord knows about them. Let's just pray about them right now. Listen, you know what we ought to see? It ought to be a regular thing to see people praying in different parts of the church after the service, praying, just going to somebody and say, brother, can we pray together before we go tonight? Listen, there ought to be people in the balcony and out everywhere finding places to pray. There ought to be people praying with folks on the front porch. You say, why don't that happen, preacher? Because some of us, we're not thinking like a servant. Well, let me give you one more. Paul had the mind of a servant, had the mind of a minister. And it was evident because I think, church, that first of all, he was transparent. Second of all, he was extremely genuine. Paul was one of those guys, what you see is what you get. That's the reason he said, I am what I am. But he didn't stop there. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. He was a minister. So he was transparent. He was genuine. And may I say to you tonight, if you'll turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he was honest. He was honest. And I'm talking about absolutely honest. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, Paul says, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Paul was just plain honest. You know what people want when people approach them to be ministered to? They want people they can trust. I said they want people they can trust. I said they want people they can trust, that they can share their heart with, and it won't show up on our Facebook page next morning. I said somebody that they can trust, that they won't call and mention it as a prayer request. Come on, folks. We're deceptive as the devil. We'll call somebody up, somebody share their heart with us. We'll call somebody up and say, listen, you need to pray for brother and Mrs. So-and-so. And they just shared their heart with you that they're going through a marital issue. And we're going to call somebody and tell them, well, you need to pray for them. What is this? Well, they just got some complications. Folks, you know what? They don't need to know. And I'll tell you this. You go to someone and they share their heart with you and you tell somebody else out of confidence, you listen to me, God will never send you another servant. God will never send you another opportunity until you make it right with the person that you just broke confidence with. There's a lot of things. And the thing is, most people can't be trusted. I said most people can't be trusted. That's the reason that in your lifetime, you will have less than five true friends in your entire life. And I'm talking about people that you can share your heart with that won't go tell somebody, that'll pray for you and won't get on the phone and call somebody or won't type you up or won't text about you, but this one, they'll say, I'll pray for you. You know, I think one of the things that God's going to do when He comes back, and I'd love to see this. I hope God does it. I don't know if He will, but I think He might. I think He's so tired of all of this junk that goes around, because listen, what happens is the gossips and busybodies and backbiters of the world, the electronic generation, is a paradise for them, because they can go behind people's back and talk about these things. And then I've had people say, oh, preacher, I didn't do that. And you lay the printed text message. There it is right there. Where'd you get that? Or have people print out their Facebook message. And you just lay it out there and say, is that yours? Huh? No? It's funny, it's got your name on it. Well, that's not mine. Now, folks, you understand, I'm just saying these things because people need people who are honest. And if you're going to be a minister, if you're going to be a servant of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to think like a servant. And you're going to have to think that when you minister to people, you're going to hear things that don't need to be repeated. You're going to hear things that shouldn't be repeated to anybody. Listen, I don't want everybody to know my dirty laundry. So when I get down on my knees in prayer, and I'll spend my daily time in devotion, time in prayer, when it comes down to confessing sin, I close my mouth and I speak to the Lord inside. He said, what do you do that for? Well, you know, I just don't want to give the devil any opportunities. He said, well, don't he? He might already know it. Yeah, but I don't want to confess in front of him. Paul was honest. You know what we need? We need some transparent ministers. We need some honest ministers. We need some humble ministers is what we need today. People who are genuine. And folks, the world is screaming today for people who just be real. Just be real. Don't try to be somebody you're not. Be who God made you. Don't try to listen. If God hadn't given you the ability of a 5-talent Christian, stop trying to be one. Be a 2-talent Christian or whatever abilities God's given you. But just think like a Christian tonight. Think like a servant. Think like a minister. And I promise you, you know what you'll do? You'll be driving down the road next time, and you'll see a little lady that has her head on the steering wheel and she's crying. And you won't say, well, bless her heart. You'll pull over and just do whatever you can to try to help her. Why? Because that's just what servants do. That's how people minister, and that's how they think. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? How many tonight can say, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of doubt I'm saved? Stick your hand way up high. Say, that's me. No question about it. I've been born into the family of God. Good. You can put your hands down. Father, I ask that you bless this invitation. Thank you for the privilege that we have tonight to be able to be called a child of God. The Lord, if there might be one tonight that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, would you save them? They might put their faith and trust in Thee. Maybe there's some tonight, Lord, who need to rekindle their heart of a servant and as a minister. Would you move in a special way in their heart tonight as well? And with heads bowed and eyes